Hello, everyone, and welcome to the big show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And as I look around the live studio today and I see who's here, it's pretty clear to me that, yeah, it must be Thursday and it really must be the big show. So I'm happy to get to hang out with all of you. Who does all of you include? Well, fresh from a grand adventure in Las Vegas. Ian, how are you?
I'm great. I'm still good. I'm now finally my brain and my body are in the same time zone. That didn't happen till the weekend. My luggage eventually arrived as well, so all that's good. So I've got clean pants and everything else. Yeah, it's all good. This week I've been mostly teaching, which has been great fun. Back into the after we get back got back the week before. Now I've been teaching Linux classes all week. That's been fun. I've been making people cry with showing them how to use Vi. I didn't intend that to rhyme, but it did. They're all going, but why would I use Vi in? Because you'll always find it on every Linux system you ever find. You will never guarantee you're finding Nano. And some people will
VI
not
is
want
the
you to
only way to
install.
go.
It is.
The only way to go.
I teach people Vi. And they're asking me now, can we have a class on Vi? Oh, God. Yeah, all right, maybe. I have to remember all the keyboard shortcuts that I've forgotten.
If you have to ask for a class in VI, then you're not ready for VI. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no,
Yeah.
that was abundantly apparent from the group. We run two classes. We run a fundamentals one where I'm not expecting anything fancy, and then we've got a more advanced class where you should have taken the one before and be reasonably comfortable. But we got a few people that clearly thought, "Ah, no, I'll be all right. I've done Linux before," and got there, and then they were mind blown because we talk about kernel, we talk about. We talk about quite sort of deep stuff to do with storage, things that relate to our product and things that relate to stuff the customers see, so they get kind of an idea. And a lot of the work we do is again editing configurations and setting stuff up in the lab. And we just say use Vi, and we don't really give them any other help. It's going, where you go, edit that file, and complaining happens. And you can see from this next group, the first group before, we clearly had guys that are. We're all of a certain level, so we're all right. This group is a bit more, I think, a bit more representative of my usual groups of people with varying degrees of experience. It's all fun and games. All fun and games.
Yeah, my personal philosophy about classes like that is that that first level class that you did, even though I have used Linux over the years, I should take the class because first, I will then know what I'm expected to know. But then second, because you will teach me at least one thing that I don't already know.
Yeah.
And so it becomes a win all the way around. I don't get the people that want to skip the classes that they need to take, and they just assume, oh, well, I already know everything. And my feeling is, if you feel you already know everything, you probably need to take the class to discover what you actually didn't know.
Years ago, I stood in the lift in one of my in a going up to my training room in a building I used to work in years ago, and there was a guy I didn't know there talking to another guy behind me, and he's talking to him. I've got to go on this bloody training course today, and she looks at him. Don't you know much of this stuff? So, yeah, I know everything. It just doesn't matter. I don't know what I've got to go for. I clocked his face and thought, I wonder if I'm going to meet you later. Sure enough, he sat there in the back of my room for the next 3 days. And for the first day, he was a pain in the backside because he then wanted to swing his willy and make himself seem to be no more than the instructor. That didn't go down well. In the
It
end,
usually
it's the one
doesn't.
where I decided more because my other students were embarrassed that he was doing this, which was amusing. I was just glossing it over and carrying on. And then the end, I sent an email to his boss saying, can you tell this guy to behave? Normally what happens when I get good guys in my classes, what they do is they sit there and they enhance my class by giving me more information, building on the things I've already talked about, not trying to one-up me. And that all went away quite quickly. I think his boss went around the back of his head.
And
But
rightly
yeah,
so.
it's just
Yes.
not, it's no, it's it, it's not an attitude you should go. I always, if I'm going to a class, I'm not sure. open-minded. Let's go in here. Let's go and see something. As you say, you'll learn something new. It's completely true.
Yep. Speaking of the master of teaching us new things, like how I just worked that in there. Tom, how are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm eagerly awaiting my appointment with my orthopedic surgeon so I can get my knee fixed. I'm kind of tired of hobbling around. So another couple of weeks of that. Otherwise, I'm doing great.
Awesome. Well, yeah, I hope your surgery goes mundanely and you have
Me
quick
too, yeah.
recovery.
Uneventful.
Yes, I want my medical visits and my travel to always be uneventful.
Wise words to live by. I agree.
Yep. Opposite of uneventful, always the party. Patrice, you knew I was talking about you. Patrice Howard.
I was like, who is he talking about? No, I'm good. I'm good. I'm from an undisclosed location in Lisbon, Portugal.
Oh, lucky
Yes, my hotel
you.
room,
In the
of course.
nice place, in nice places again.
Yeah, it's nice. It's warm-ish. I mean, warmer than Austria and probably the UK. It's like, what was it, 16 degrees Celsius,
Yes,
so
then.
about
Completely, yes.
60 somewhere Fahrenheit.
Yeah, that sounds far more civilized.
Really nice. Yeah, it's been nice here. It rained a little bit this week here and there, but like I'll take rain and a little bit of wind here and there over cold and dark and gray and also rain. Maybe not as much. No sun. So no, it's been fun. I've not done a lot. I was mostly working, and sleeping and not a lot else. Eating, maybe, but
Well, I mean, if you're in Lisbon and you're not taking advantage of the culinary scene.
yeah.
Oh, yeah, there's some
But
tasty
no,
stuff
to be
there.
fair, I've not, I, other than going to the supermarket twice a day, I've not done that. Because I've been here so many times that at some, I
Oh,
really
right.
thought about it today. I'm like, because it's the last day. I'm like, is there something I want from here that I want to have? Like, order, go there, whatever. And I could still do that later if I've come up with something. But so far, I'm like, eh.
Sometimes I forget that you're there on a very regular basis.
Yes.
So, yeah,
Yeah.
that's different.
Yeah. I mean, I still enjoy a lot of the food. Like, I go to the supermarket simply and grocery stores and buy like stuff. So but it's like the restaurants. I'm like, I mean, you also don't. Okay, you're in the US, so maybe not. But I know some people in the US that go like have food every day ordered in. But usually you don't do that. Like, you're at home and you do your thing, and every now and then you might go out and do that. So, and that's kind of like for me here now. I'm like, I could, but I'm like, been there, done that.
When you start regularly visiting a place, it becomes fit. You become fed up of having to go around. Which way should I go tonight? Where should I eat? Oh God, I can't be bothered. That sounds.
Exactly. It's just like that.
When I used to go to Reading a lot, the location where I was talking about before, I used to stay in Airbnbs in the end so I could cook for myself because I just got fed up. It just
Yeah, that's
wasn't any
kind of what
fun
I've.
anymore.
Yeah, if it wasn't for this hotel, like, they're quite empty this time around, and because they're so nice to me all the time, I'm like, okay, I'll stay here and give you some business. But as soon as they hit a little bit more busy season, I'll do exactly that because, yeah.
All right,
Yourself when
so
you're
what I'm
more
hearing is
comfortable.
when we do our EU road trip. It will include Patrice being our personal tour guide
Oh,
around Lisbon.
100%. Well, around Europe, I
Around,
can
well,
tell you
yes.
in a lot of places where you can get the good food.
Okay.
So, like, that's how I travel usually. I'm like, okay, where's the good
All
cafes and where's the good food?
right. I am looking
Very
forward to
true.
the BTN EU on the road adventure series.
The
Don't forget the UK on that.
BTN Grand European American Road Trip. I don't know, something like that.
Right.
The Grand European Tour.
With a side jaunt into the UK. because
Absolutely. You've got to
it's
come
yeah,
here.
because
You've got to come
BTN.
here.
It's BTN.
Because
So that's
BTN
where it
is UK, you've
starts.
got to
That's
come.
usually where it starts. You've got to
Okay,
come
so
see
we'll
you and a
start in
mate.
the UK. Us rebels, when we come over, your friendly neighborhood seditionists, we'll pick
Indeed.
up.
Traitors.
I have
Traitors.
a different word for that right now, but I'm not going to say
Oh, yeah, I have a lot of
it
words, Patrice.
on
Yeah.
stream. Been watching the news on my giddy aunt, so yes.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm thinking.
So, yes, but okay, so we'll stop in the UK. We'll pick up our UK contingent and then move over to the EU.
Yeah,
And
bring the UK contingent over to the civilized side. No, kidding.
No, we're civilized already.
No, I'm not so sure
We don't
about
need to go to the barbarians.
that.
Well, from my perspective, I would be coming from an uncivilized place.
Yes, you
Stopping
are.
off
Yes.
in an uncivilized place that has much more posh accents, and then we would all go to
And then you end up in France. Oh my
and then we end up in France. And we're like,
Oh
oh
my God, no,
where did
that's
we go?
worse.
What did, oh.
It's like, why did we do this?
Why did you go
Yeah.
to France?
The
Well, food's nice, but the people are a pain. We'll come out of the channel,
Basically.
we'll be standing there, and then we'll just start yelling, Patrice!
Can we go to
This is
Germany?
going to be an epic
Can we
story.
turn around and go back?
Right. Yeah. All right. Well, now that we have our EU road trip all planned out, it looks like, Patrice, I have stalled long enough for you to find our first story for the day.
I know I
No,
was ahead of you.
Ian was actually faster.
I'm always in
Oh,
there.
yeah.
Yeah,
Oh, and
he's
I
always
think I might.
cheating and putting his story in way before.
Yeah, and also I think I may have trumped your story.
Oh no, shit.
Deep
That
seek
would be bad.
is what I'm talking about too.
Crap. Okay, I'll
Come on,
find another one.
I mean, it's one of the stories this week, deep seek. I mean, there's all manner of interesting things we can talk about to do with DeepSeek appearing this week. Nvidia lost $6 billion in revenue this week in terms of their share price plummeted once the pricing models were released for DeepSeek. That was one of the main hits from earlier in the week was we were talking about this at work, and that's big. The technology appears to be more efficient and does more with less for less money in terms of the per transaction for over OpenAI, so it's a real competitor. It seems a very interesting product. I notice now as the week's gone on and time's gone on, lots of government agencies do not use DeepSeek to check out for doing searches and things. So that's also interesting. What's everyone's intro? What do we all think about DeepSeek then? Because I think
So
it's wide story, isn't it?
it's I mean honestly there's kind of multiple things to unpack here. So for one, there's two things. There's the DeepSeek app. There you should be careful because that thing is phoning home, of course, and whatever they do with that. So that's what the government is saying. The other part is the model, and they made the model as predicted open source. So anybody can have a look at it and can use it. Kind of like Meta's Llama, for example. So it's kind of compared to the open AI that is not open at all at this point. It used to be, but it's not anymore. That's actually quite interesting. And what is even more interesting about this is, and not so interesting, but not surprising for the people who paid attention, who knew, which is not basically nobody. The Chinese model was way cheaper to train, way cheaper to produce. That the US, especially OpenAI, they were always saying, oh, we need gazillions of dollars. We are the only ones who can afford to do that. So that's why we have the best models and all of that. We're like, America is the only one who can do it. And they put like export controls in place so China couldn't get certain things or whatever. Well, turns out it didn't matter at all because China just did it and they did it cheaper, like they've done before. So it's not a surprise. Like they've done it in the car industry. They're doing it a lot of places. They're finding ways
Disrupting
around all of
industry.
that. And it's, I mean, especially with software and AI, there is like it's not hardware that you can restrict. This it's like okay, people can figure things out. So this is what happened, and this is super, as I said, super interesting. And it basically, what I predicted, I think a couple months or a couple of weeks ago, that we would get to the point that op that open source will. I think I did that in like a WhatsApp group now that I think about it. Like that we would get to the point where open source models will basically take over and democratize AI, and all the big AI investment companies and OpenAI especially, and NVIDIA will have to figure out how the heck to make money, because now everybody can just use a million. I mean, it's already like that, a million different available, really good models. And that's gonna happen. And as I said, it's no surprise, but it's really interesting to see that like the hubris of OpenAI, of NVIDIA, of all of the US companies, we're the only ones who can do it. And then China comes around. As actually, there was a second model just released today or yesterday. I'm blanking what the company's name was, but there was a second one actually released. And I think there's a couple more it will
Oh,
come.
Ali, yeah,
Alibaba, thank you.
Alibaba,
Yes.
right, they've
Alibaba.
also got
Yes,
another.
I was thinking Baidu, and I'm like, no, that's wrong. Yeah, Alibaba. There's another one, and there's a couple more coming. They're coming, and like I said, they're going to compete, and that is the interesting part. They're doing it for way cheaper, way better, and the whole thing about oh, but they're whatever Chinese, and they have certain blind spots. I'm like, okay, yeah, you can choose. You want a AI from the US side that has certain blind spots about certain things in history that happened in the US, or you want one from the Chinese side that has certain blind spots about something like Tiananmen Square, for example. It's
Oh,
like
yeah.
choose your poison, but like none of them are perfect.
None of them are perfect. And it's the usual thing of China comes up with something cheaper and some ways a little worse than maybe the premium product, if you want to call OpenAI or ChatGPT that. But they make it more efficient and more affordable. What can't be bad about that? And I guess from what we've been hearing, the stories we've been covering over the last 6 months or so, the power necessary to make a functioning, worthwhile AI, the Chinese have probably got a lot more,
Oh, yeah, more
a
and
lot,
cheaper.
a lot more availability of cheaper electricity,
Yes.
and less
And it's
probably, overlook and oversight in terms of how that energy is generated, which is the problem over here we're having
Oh,
now is.
no, they might have a lot of oversight, but they don't care about certain things.
But they
It's
don't
like,
care
yeah, the
about, yeah.
government is probably very heavily looking at it and like
Oh,
how it's generated
oversight
all of
from that
that.
point of view,
But yeah, but they're like, meh.
but from an
It's like,
eco
oh,
perspective,
you
they
go.
give nothing. They don't care. Yeah, eco
Yeah,
perspective,
yeah.
nah.
Well,
You know, it's
exactly.
that.
No, this there was another funny thing, also kind of predictable. OpenAI immediately kind of dug in their heels and said, "Oh no, but ours is better." Or I think they did try to. They're like, "Oh, they used OpenAI, and we can to
Yeah.
train theirs, and we can prove it." And I'm like, "Wait a second! You stole basically the entire internet to train your model, and now you're pretending nobody else can do that. Well, it doesn't work
Yeah,
that way."
because they were saying, "Oh, you've been copying our own work." Because you could earlier in the way they were going, "Oh, you've been copying our own work. Look, this is our code. This is."
Well, Patrice, you used a word a few minutes ago that was immediately in my mind when I first heard about DeepSeek. That word was hubris, and yes, and so I'm pointing that out because I want to call out what you said. And so, yes, the fact that we're seeing the US white dude tech bros
With a lot of
clutching their
money.
pearls and getting all pissed off about all of this, it just plays into that hubris. And
It does.
you even pointed out the whole thing with like OpenAI saying, "Oh, this is the only way we can do it, and so we have to have all this money. We're the only people that can do this." No, they were never the only people that could do this, and here we go. And I think you're right about the democratizing of LLMs and AI models in general.
Yeah,
I mean,
completely.
it's not the first time this has happened. I mean, AI is just one and another one in a long line of things like that. Like, it just happens. I mean, computers work kind of like that if you really think about it.
Yeah, I think what these what DeepSeek people have done is really slapped the tech bros right in the face. You know, the way science usually advances is people make either incremental or revolutionary enhancements on what already exists. And that's kind of what these DeepSeek people have done. And I think it's still very early to say how revolutionary it is.
It's
And
revolutionary for now.
there has to be a lot of things, a lot of dust to settle before we can truly evaluate it. But it's eminently clear that they've advanced the technology in some way. And the funny thing is, the ironic thing is that they were forced to innovate in many ways because of the sanctions from the Americans, because they couldn't get access to the higher performance NVIDIA GPUs. So they made some innovations in memory usage and so on. But I mean,
That's always the thing.
as far as I can tell, it seems like there are a million things that need to be investigated about what improvements they made here. And
It's a race.
it's a great statement of, you know, if you're sort of open about these things and doing research in a more public way. You know, it's not 100% open. They're not going to tell you everything they did. But it's great. So some smart people in China figured out some improvements. Great. And you know, now the ball's in everybody else's court to see if they can pick up the ball and run. And you know, I've been reading through all these things, all these the initial analyses of what they've done, and I'm thoroughly confused. But it seems like they've done some things in inferencing with MOEs and MLAs, which I don't quite understand, that have looked really, really interesting.
It's the old idea of like the worst thing you can do for any engineer is give them no restrictions, because then they're gonna have a hard time innovating. If there is some limitations, some restrictions, they're gonna find ways to kind of work around that and to do crazy things. By the way, the whole, I mean, what I also don't like about this story a little bit is this whole stock price thing with Nvidia that just gets thrown. Yes, Nvidia stock price did go down quite significantly, but it's not a massive drop. It's like
No.
it went from, I think, 140 to 120.
And it
So
popped a
yes,
little bit.
if you have invested hundreds and hundreds of millions in stocks, then yeah, you lost a good chunk of money. If you bet on it going up and up and up, you've lost probably some money. But it's not that, oh, it was 140 and now it's 3. Something like that.
Right. And it's not like anyone showed up at the investors' banks and said, okay, give us that money now.
And to be honest, it's been going up a little bit already. Like it's like last couple of days has been up and down a little bit. Like it was up to 128 and it went 120, it was like
Yeah,
118,
it'll recover.
going
It'll
up and
recover.
down a little
It'll
bit. But
recover.
it's exactly it's not, I mean, the it's, I mean, it's a little, the Nvidia thing is anyway a little bit of a bubble and it has to get corrected at some point.
I mean, you
But I
think
mean,
it.
they're doing fine. They're going to keep selling a lot of good stuff because they make good chips, and it's like the company is not going to die because of this.
I
This
think
is one model or two.
the best outcome of all this is that kind of put Sam Altman and OpenAI in their place,
I
not
hope
beat
so.
down a
No,
few
it's not going to
pegs.
happen. Yeah, not going to happen, but not a chance.
All right. So, what do the LLM say our next story is going to be?
I don't know.
Who knows?
Who knows? Because I haven't picked mine yet.
Well, okay. Well, since we seem to be. Oh, Tom, to the rescue. I was
Yeah,
going to pull up my
Tom, the
emergency
rescue. Thank
story.
you.
There is another one, actually. I'll throw this one in the chat for anyone who wants. It was my other story for this week, but I've chucked that one in there as well that someone can have a go at if they want.
All right,
So my
Tom, tell
story.
us all about Microsoft's great success.
So my story is about the Microsoft 365 Copilot launch. And This kind of hit me at the same time that I saw an article written by Ed Bott on ZDNet, and he did a really good job of explaining why this launch of sort of a refresh of Microsoft 365 was just a complete disaster. So what Microsoft did is, I guess the first thing they did was rename Microsoft, I think it was Office 365.
Yeah,
Now
it used to, but what it used
it's
to be was Office
Microsoft
365. Microsoft
365
365. Yes.
Copilot. Great, you
Yes.
know. So put
Cooling.
Copilot name on everything now. And they raised the monthly price from, in the US, it's $9.99 a month to $12.99. And for context, they hadn't raised the price of Office 365 for more than 10 years. So raising the price is kind of one thing. It wouldn't be a completely crazy thing to do, and we're all used to having, Netflix raise their prices or whatever. Especially over a 10-year period. But they basically positioned the price increase as being driven by the addition of access to Copilot. And as Ed Bott writes pretty well, not everybody wants Copilot. So instead of just saying, we haven't raised the price of 365 for 10 years or 12 years, we need to raise the price by a couple of bucks. And oh, by the way, we added some new features, including access to Copilot. They've totally branded this as a Copilot enhancement, and thus your impression is the price increase is all due to Copilot. And this was all happening as my yearly subscription was coming due. And so I said, well, I don't want this, and I don't want the price increase. And there was some vague knowledge that you could decline the Copilot option and stick with the $9.99 per month and not get Copilot. But of course, to find that, the way you find that is you go to the subscription renewal page and you don't say, I don't want Copilot. You say, cancel your subscription. And then when you cancel, a new window pops up and says, oh, by the way, you can get 365 Classic for $9.99 a month. So in addition, they also made it extremely hard to stick with the $9.99 plan and not get Copilot. So I think at the end of the day, they'll probably get a bunch of people that just renew and not think about it and get the price increase.
Yeah,
But then
pretty much. That's the deal.
they're going to get a bunch of people who, like me, just say, no thanks, and stick with 999, which I'm sure they're going to get rid of that plan in 12 months or so.
I mean,
But I think that the idea of putting Copilot in is a great idea. It could have been rolled out so much better.
Well, yeah, I mean, the thing was that was interesting thing was my wife logs into her computer on Monday morning for work. Ian, what's Copilot and why is it on my computer? Was the first question. And then the question today was, where's this Gemini thing come from? I mean, she knows what they are. I mean, they're AI things, but why have they got them on my I said, I don't know, it's your IT department, but it shows the prevalence and how quickly they're kind of the particularly the ones that are tied into the big tech vendors. They're appearing from everywhere. Copilot seems to be they want us all to use it. I mean, for work, I know we're integrating with Copilot at some point in the future. We're actually going to be working with it. We're Microsoft partners, so we'll be able to. But it's becoming more and more prevalent that they are trying as much as they can to link it into everything. And also, I suppose it feeds the machine as well, doesn't it?
Yeah,
Because they
that's
will they'll have the technology, because they'll be part of the thing is that they can use your data as a source. I guess they'll be feeding the LLM machines with data they gather from us.
Well, the big
I mean,
companies that have the big contracts with Microsoft for 365 or whatever they want to call it at when you get to that level, they can have all of their content that's going into Copilot segregated. So it's not part of
We're
the
actually doing that, like
general,
our companies, for example.
which is
I'm pretty
important
sure
because
yours as
otherwise
well.
you can do that as an individual too, but you have to go to the application and there's, nested down in about six levels of
Of course.
option menus, you can turn it off.
And dance around your computer three times and
Right. So here's the other
But
funny thing.
only on a Tuesday when there's a full moon.
To tie it into the previous story, there is also news today that Copilot, Microsoft is adding access to DeepSeek through Copilot.
Yeah, they're gonna host DeepSeek, a DeepSeek model. I mean, Microsoft is hosting actually a couple models
Which
by
is
now.
which might be a great a better way to get
Yeah.
access to DeepSeek's model instead of
Oh,
getting the
yeah.
DeepSeek app.
Yes. I would say so.
So I'm not against Copilot. I think, I have Copilot on the Windows 11 and I use it to
It's actually pretty
summarize
good.
some things. I just don't want it shoved down my throat. And
Yes.
I'd rather opt in to ha than have to opt out, the usual story with this.
I
But
just
I understand from a business point of view what Microsoft is doing. I just think they,
Well,
could
what they
handle
did
it so much
was
better.
they asked Copilot, what's the best way to roll Copilot into Office 365?
Oh,
And
that is
Copilot came
hustle-less.
back and said,
Shove
just
it down
do
their
it and
throat.
raise the price. And there you
But
go.
it's the messaging that just kills me. Microsoft can be so bad at these things. I've launched many products in my life, and you agonize over every word or how you position it. And I can't imagine, sitting in that room, somebody didn't say, "Why don't we just say, we haven't raised prices for 10 years. Just say, or I'm sorry, we have to raise the price, but we're giving you stuff, including Copilot." That would have been so much better.
I agree. So much better. All right, Patrice, you found a story. We stalled long enough for
I,
you.
yeah, no, I found a couple even. I was looking which one might be most interesting. Honestly, the AI story was the most interesting, but it's fine. I'm actually one of my predictions just came true because I was, I think I predicted this year again. I hope so. If not, then I missed out on that one.
Oh, yeah, I think, yeah.
Waymo is coming to the East Coast. Because they will, I think, as of now or very, very soon, at least employees from Waymo will be able to hail Waymo rides in Atlanta. And that is only a part of an announcement, and I'm trying to find the other cities of 10 cities that they're planning on rolling it out this year, starting with Las Vegas, San Diego. Well, that kind of makes sense. They're already in like a lot of places in California, so it's kind of going down the coast now. I think I saw Miami somewhere. Yeah, Atlanta and Miami, Austin. They apparently have done some testing last year in Michigan and also in New York. So I would, just because to test like weather, right? That's the
Right.
part
That would be
that you
interesting
now
to
get.
see how they do, yeah.
So I mean, even Atlanta is like still quite for the south, but yeah, at some point they're gonna start doing weather. So yeah, I'm just trying to find Austin, Atlanta, Miami. I'm trying to find if there's more, but it said it's 10 somewhere was mentioned. So it's just interesting to see like how, I mean, it Waymo is very careful with their rollouts and with their approach to everything basically. They would rather take two steps back and rethink something than do the Elon Musk thing and just roll it out, and then if it fails, say, oh, well, it's your problem. That's not their approach. Or the, what was it? Was it Uber that had to shut theirs down? I think it was Uber, right? With the crash in Phoenix. Or Mesa, I think it was. So yeah, it's interesting that they're going this fast this year. So I'm suspecting that they've hit a point where either A, they're being pushed to make money now, or B, and I hope it's this one, they've reached a point where they have a feeling it is mature enough that it can now go into more markets. I mean, they've used it in for years now in the Phoenix metro area, or basically all of Phoenix and surrounding cities. In San Francisco and also into the Bay Area to some extent. Started in LA last year at some point. I think those are the three that I've done so far.
And they've started testing freeway driving in LA as well.
That's I have a feeling that with those three cities, and I mean, some of them are. I mean, Phoenix was easy and an easy start because the streets are wide. There's basically no weather to talk about, and also not a lot of cars. Like, it's quite easy to drive there. San Francisco for sure was a challenge, I'm sure.
Yes,
Like
I
those
would
narrow
assume.
streets in the hills and all of that, and then LA with the crazy traffic. So I think they have, at least when it comes to good weather conditions, handled probably the most difficult things. Like freeway for sure is my thing, but like in this within city, I mean, it's
Snow
bad.
seems like one of the most challenging things when you can't see the striping on the roads and things. It's interesting to see how they'll handle that.
I mean,
Yeah, but
I'm the
curious.
difference is that Waymo doesn't do what Tesla did. Tesla basically said, no, we don't need any advanced hardware or anything. We
Right,
can
they
do
just have
everything with cameras.
cameras. Yeah,
Yes.
right.
Well, I mean, to be fair, humans kind of do that, but they're definitely they were not as good as humans. That was the problem. That is the problem.
So,
And even humans get it wrong sometimes.
but even with LiDAR, how do you keep a car in a lane without being able to
You
see the
don't know where the
stripes,
lane ends, right? Yeah, as I
right?
said, even humans have that problem. Like,
Sure.
that's exactly it. Like, at some point, you can only guess where the street is.
Right. I mean, in
Like, some
some way,
point, you might be as wrong.
I guess you do like humans then, right?
Yeah,
As
you
humans, you
guess.
sort of figure out, well, yeah, there's a car next to me, so I should move over, right?
And that's why I'm
Well.
thinking, I think the northern states might still be a year or two or three away. I think that they I'm pretty I mean we've heard they've been testing last year, but I'm sure that they're not far enough with that, and that they're kind of is that because of the very careful approach they take. Basically Waymo is as I said they, also the scrutiny they're under. They're trying to make as little mistakes as possible because every mistake gets, as we see, it gets blown out of proportion. It's like, oh, someone, there was an accident. Yeah, some other car hit us. Yeah, that doesn't matter. It was an accident. It was an autonomous car. Or
Yeah, we just had
autonomous
that
car
ha
blocked intersections.
we just
Problem.
had that happen in San Francisco. Some crazy drunk driver was flying through the city and hit a bunch of cars, including a Waymo. And so the headline was Waymo car involved in crash.
Yeah,
Yeah. We get
exactly.
that
So
here for
that's
electric
exactly.
cars.
Anything
Anything
catches fire at the side of the road, it's electric, regardless of whether it is or not. Seems to be the exactly.
thing. I'm puzzled at the moment how
Mm-hmm.
well. I mean, I saw that he's running around in Vegas. They've got Zoox in Vegas, which is a similar kind of thing, which is even more looking like an autonomous car because it's a little Golf
podium you
cart.
can sit in.
Yeah,
And those
a
are the little
golf
pod
cart.
cars. Yes,
Yeah,
that's how Waymo
indeed.
started, by the way, right?
Yeah.
That's
Oh,
how
right.
Waymo started. They had
Yeah.
Google, it was Google back then still, but they had little pod cars that they started around Google campus,
I mean,
basically.
but they
That's how
don't
it
need them.
started.
We're whizzing around the city
Yeah.
when I was there. As I said, it looks interesting. I mean, I can see how well it works in anywhere in the US where you have these lovely grid systems for your cities. That makes the world so much easier to navigate. To London,
San
but it works.
Francisco
Going to work,
is a
Ian.
challenge, I'm not gonna
Ian, it
lie.
works in San Francisco, right? Which is
That
not
that's true. That's
not
not
on
easy
grids, is
grid
it?
anymore.
That's
That's
not easy
not it.
grid
Lost
anymore.
not
That's somewhat
everywhere.
difficult. So that's
Interesting.
interesting. It's not as hard as London, but it's pretty wacky.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's where we'd start here, if anywhere, it'd be London.
But the thing is, the navigation itself, and whether it's a grid or not, I don't think even that is the challenge.
Doesn't seem
Because
to
for
be.
the car, it doesn't. It's not using a map to. Well, it's using a map to navigate as we're using a map and say, okay, how do I get from A to B? But it's not using the map to say, okay, this is how I have to drive now, whatever. No, it's literally it's looking at the street and how it has to react to things, like we are driving. I mean, literally, Waymo is not building a car. Waymo is building a driver. They've been very clear about that. They're using cars from other manufacturers to like as vehicles like we would be, but they're literally building a driver, and they're building also a truck driver. They announced that like a year or two ago. They're also building a truck driver at some point. So because that's literally the challenge you have to have. It's basically if you want to replace a human and be better as a human, then you should have a driver and not a car. Like it shouldn't matter what car. I mean, you don't care what car you drive. I mean, yeah, it might be. Like if you have a new car or drive a friend's car, it might be the first minute you're like, okay, how does this all work? But then you drive,
Oh
right?
yeah.
And that's how it should be.
Hey Tom, you totally without saying I'm from California said I'm from California. When okay, so what you were questioning was how does the car when this road's covered with snow, how does it find its lane? And that was your I'm from California moment.
Oh, that's true.
Here's what happens. The road becomes irrelevant. What matters is that everyone has been following everyone else, and you get a set of ruts. And
Yes, it's like cross-country skiing.
yeah,
Yeah,
and
kind of.
it's kind of like that, but it's also just this thing where everyone's like, eh, I'm probably on the road. And it has no bearing on where lanes actually are. So as you start to get some melting, you find out that everyone's driving where they're just straddling the lanes.
Yes.
What is your self-driving car going to do when all it has is a
Ruts.
bare
It's other
strip of
cars.
road with a stripe running right down the middle, and it's a single lane?
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Like there's also things like called snow plows and whatever.
Right,
It's
right, and
like
yeah, and the thing with the snowplow, depending on how wide your road is, you have a snowplow cr come through, and it clears the center lane, or the most center lane. Then the next snowplow comes through, and everything that got pushed into the number two lane from the number one lane, now that gets plowed, and so now you have if there's another lane or a shoulder, whatever. But in the meantime, people have been driving through all this stuff, so the number one lane is now covered again. So you have to have
And maybe it also been snowing a little bit,
and it's
so
been snowing. So it's an ongoing process where you have different lanes in the same section of road that have different amounts of snow cover.
Jeff,
And also
this is why I live in California, in the part of California that
not a
doesn't
problem.
snow.
No, and I mean
That's
also
fair.
the snow plows have usually markers, so and that cars can use that as well and say, okay, roughly this is where the street ends because those are the markers that the snow plows actually use to figure out where they should plow and where they
Oh,
shouldn't,
that's true, yeah.
stuff like that. So
So the other part of this is there was an announcement, I think in September or so, that Uber and Waymo had a partnership to get access to Waymo cars through
that's
the Uber app, and
correct.
they mentioned Atlanta in that announcement
Did
back in
they?
September. Yeah, they
I
did.
didn't think so. I
I
forgot about that.
just looked it up again.
I didn't even know about that, that it was mentioned. But I said,
Waymo
like,
and
it's
Uber
coming.
expand partnership to bring rides to Austin and Atlanta. That was from September.
Interesting.
Because the
That
other
I
thing
didn't
I'd
know.
been hearing in a local Reddit here is people were speculating that the Uber rides were getting cheaper in San Francisco because of the competition from Waymo. And because they'd seen the
Possible.
trend where, Uber was really cheap for a long time, and then over the last 2 years, the prices have been going up. But then
Yes,
maybe over the last
they've
four
been.
or 5 months, when they've opened up Waymo to everybody, that, I
Yeah,
mean, it's just
I mean,
anecdotal data, but.
it's probably anecdotal, and I mean, there's also like if there was like this whole inflation thing that happened in between, so who
Oh,
knows?
right.
Yeah, but I said it's interesting. Like, so Miami, Atlanta, Austin, a couple other cities will get Waymo soon.
I'm
Welcome to
glad
the
that it'll be
future.
Michigan before Colorado so they can figure out the snow stuff there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, New York probably will be interesting, I can tell you that.
Man, yeah,
Oh
that
my
would be
God,
crazy.
right?
Yep.
All right. So speaking of figuring stuff out, Patrice, can you help me figure out how to use the brand new chat? I guess it's not
It's
brand new anymore, but the
not so
amazing
brand new.
our relatively new chat that you set up, and it's super cool.
Yeah, it's not just the chat, it's our live stream. So if you go to live.britishtechnetwork.com, whenever we're recording, which right now we're recording, it's always Thursdays at 7 p.m. UK time for the big show, so for this very show. And also, by the way, Fridays 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show, so tomorrow afternoon. Well, I'm on a plane, so I'm definitely not gonna catch that one, because we don't have Wi-Fi. I mean, we don't have Wi-Fi at all, let alone Wi-Fi you can do a like podcast or any kind of video call from in Europe. Like, doesn't exist. So I've had that in the US a couple of times, but like, forget it here. It's not like, I mean, we can't get Wi-Fi in trains, so forget that on planes. But yeah, live.britishtechnetwork.com, go there. There is the live stream, and on the side there is the chat window, and it gives you really fun names. And if I look right now, oh, I joined too late. Oh no, there's one. Quirky Seha, whatever. It does have some really funny names it generates for you, but if you want to change it, just go up top, little purple icon, click on it, change name, do that. Easy peasy. But if you are listening to this in your favorite podcast player, on our website, wherever you found it, whatever, in DeepSeek, wherever you found that content, like, it doesn't matter. We're happy that you're listening. That's the important part. However you got to it, it's free. So, like, how, but do we care how you got it? Like, no. If a friend like gave you a whatever floppy disk and said, "Hey, you should listen to that," like, or cassette tape, whatever, like, it don't care, all fine, because we just want you to listen to this. Then you can still get to the chat, I hope, unless you don't have internet. BritishTechNetwork.com/chat. That's where you head to.
Except for Patrice.
Who's now,
So we lost Patrice
speaking of
right
bad
there.
Wi-Fi.
Yeah, speaking of bad
Then
Wi-Fi.
you would.
All right. So what Patrice is
Oh,
trying to
really?
say is when you go there, there's a really cool
Ah, so I got no
calendar.
internet connection.
And oh, poor Patrice. Anyhow, there's a calendar there. Look for the date of the show that you want the transcript for. So like today would be January 30th, 2025, and then you'll see everything that we discussed in that on that day, and that's where you can find the links for all the shows and the show notes, the cool things, all of that, and that's it. And Patrice, you did fantastic. And I tried to channel my inner Patrice when your Wi-Fi took a dirt nap on you.
Actually, it wasn't even the Wi-Fi. I have a travel router with me. It's literally sitting next to me, that I used to. But for some reason, the MacBook just decided to switch to the hotel Wi-Fi directly.
Oh, that's annoying.
Like, why? And then that for some reason just crapped out. And I was like, but then I switched back and it's fine. So, but
Pretty
thank you for
funny.
catching this.
Well, we got through it together. It takes a village. Yeah. All
Does.
right, so
It
let's
does.
do some
It
cool
does.
things. Who has the first cool thing? And that would be Tom.
Okay, my cool thing is a book. For which you can get a free PDF download. And it's called Emerging Battery Technologies to Boost the Clean Energy Transition. Doesn't that
Wow.
sound exciting? So
I'm not somebody to help me sleep.
this is not entertainment. This is a book written by some researchers, and I can't remember exactly where they're from. Somewhere in Europe, there are Italians and Spaniards, I think, that are part of the team that wrote this book. And I found it really interesting to give kind of an overview about various storage technologies for clean energy, mechanical, hydro, but also batteries, and kind of an overview of the sort of ecosystem for batteries, how batteries are built, and emerging technologies, and so on. It's kind of a good overview. It is dry. It's not reading for fun, and you can kind of skim through chapters that you like. But I found it to be very interesting, given that batteries are such a big topic, but not as fun as a series on Netflix or something. It's not a fun read. It's an interesting read.
Well, it's still cool.
It's okay. Thank you. I thought it was cool.
Yeah, awesome. All right. So, Ian, tell us about your cool thing. Speaking of series.
It's another series, yeah. I discovered this a while back and managed to get myself all the set to watch through, called Dune Prophecy. So it's set in the in Frank Herbert's world of Dune. It's based on a book written by one of his sons, Brian, and it's to do with the sort of the evolution of the Bene Gesserit and where they came from, the sisters. And it's fascinating. It was really enjoyable watch. Really good acting. The Emily Watson is one of the leads, along with Olivia, somebody or other surname, I can't remember now. And it shows the male characters up to be quite weak, and the female characters much stronger, which is interesting. But these people are Harkonnens, the ones that we're following in the initial part. And it's a big Game of Thrones, but not completely, and it's a bit typical Dune, so you've got a bit of politics, a bit of social stuff, and then there's a bit of fighting and a bit of carrying on. But it's very good. I thoroughly enjoyed all six episodes and would recommend. If you're a Dune fan like me, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that might be good.
That's cool. And I don't remember what you can watch it on in the US. Is it
It's
Prime?
HBO. It's
H oh, it's
HBO.
HBO.
It's
Okay.
HBO, but I don't, let me just switch to HBO US on that one. And Max,
Okay.
whatever that is, whatever Max is, you can watch it
Max is
there.
HBO, just
HBO.
rebranded in a very, very poor way.
Yeah, there are many. There looks to be many, many different formats, but yeah, it appears
All
Max being
right.
one of them.
Also cool. And Patrice, I know about your cool thing because I follow you on Pixel Fed where you posted about this. So tell everyone else about your cool thing. And I think you're muted.
I did. Yes, because I was getting my book. Yeah, if you listen to the Mac Voices Holiday Gift Guide, you might have heard about that as well, because that's where I got it from. So a big thank you to Pilot Pete from what is it, MacGeekab, I think. That like he mentioned this book to me. And this is, I mean, this is a book. Like I bought it in like, you know, the old dead tree thingy that I have literally not for myself done in probably 20 years. But I wanted to own it. It's actually the title is Halfway Around the World in 40 Days, and it is let's say somewhat tech related, but it's like old tech because it is planes. It's a lady from Germany, actually not far from where I lived last in Germany, actually like couple towns over almost at Bonn, like the old actually close to Bonn, the old capital of Germany, like before the reunion or reunification. And she basically, I don't know how long ago, a couple years ago, 5 years maybe, something like that, she kind of sold everything, got a pilot's license, bought a like a really old Grumman plane.
Wow.
A ground traveler, I think, and last year, like, flew around Europe and then made plans. And I think 2 years ago, she flew from Europe, from Bonn to US, through the US, down Texas, Phoenix, I think some like West Coast, and back. And this is the book where she kind of wrote about that. And it's available in German and in English. Of course, I put the link in the chat for the English version because that's probably easier for you to read. But if you want, there's also a German version. Anyway, I think it's book on demand, so they print it when you actually buy one. But it's actually, I read it on the plane. I bought it, like, I ordered it, took like a couple of weeks to get there because they printed literally for me. And I read it, started reading it on the plane here to Lisbon, and sometime this week, actually during lunch breaks, because it's actually a really, really good book. I'm halfway through, as you can see somewhere. It's a really interesting story. A lot about, it's not, I mean, it's not about a lot of technology and whatever. Little bit like the tech issues you had and the adventures and challenges, but it's a lot about also the people she meets and the relationship she builds and like how nice people are and what she has to deal with sometimes and also not so nice things that happen. And it's said like dealing with, I don't know, no fly zones for military reasons and presidents flying around and whatever, like all of that stuff that she, I mean, she's like, it's an old plane and it's like visual flight rules. So she doesn't have any instruments, so she can't go. The weather has to be good enough for that, so that limits sometimes where she can go or when she can go, and like all of those challenges that, if you think about it, probably long, long time ago before we had a lot of tech, probably every pilot had to deal with. Like, it's like instrument like based travel took a while to get developed. So, like, if the weather was bad, you probably it was dangerous to fly and all that. So, yeah, it's, as I said, it was an interesting, it's a really, really good breed, really cool, really nice stories as well, and some really cool insights. So, if you're into that or if you're into flying, highly recommend it. And Grumman is an American company, so that's part of the reason she went there. It's like really
That's
interesting.
very
She went
onto
to
my
the
list of
headquarters,
things to
basically.
get to put on the Kindle at some point then. Looks quite good. Awesome.
So I'd recommend that.
All right, so since we have just a general book theme going for cool things today, I
Sounds
am
like it.
totally coincidentally carrying that on because I want to remind people about Project Gutenberg, where you can get
Oh, this is a good one.
all the books that that are in the public domain now. And Project Gutenberg has worked meticulously over the years to get as much public domain content as possible. So for example, if you decide you wanted to like read everything from Sherlock Holmes. All right, well, you don't have to go to a bookstore and buy a book. You can go to Project Gutenberg and just download the books because they're in the public domain. And in the United States, over the past few weeks, Project Gutenberg has been getting more visibility because a lot of people are discovering that there are books that are available that could be useful for them, depending on well, what they plan to do or want to see happen with government operations. So anyhow, Project Gutenberg, there's like over 75,000 books that you can download in multiple formats for free, and
And Jeff has read them all when you're
I
using AI.
right. Yes. Yeah, DeepSeek has been giving me summaries of everything. Yes.
Okay.
So anyhow, there you go. Project Gutenberg. Go find all of the books that are available to the public sector now for free. Download to your heart's content, load them on whatever computing device you have. And read, read, read. Okay.
Have you actually read through that book, The Simple Sabotage Manual?
It's a
It's
great little
hilarious.
book. Yeah, it
It's
is.
hilarious.
It's you know, things like give wrong directions and how to get somewhere.
Right, and just and when you tell a story to make a meeting be really ineffective, you give it all the context and background that you can, and just to keep people off
I know
topic.
people like that.
I know, I know.
I've been in meetings with people like
Yeah, it's
that.
no, but okay, so the US government sabotage manual, it's a fascinating little booklet because the idea was all right, so you need to undermine a fascist regime. Here are things that the average person can do, just the
It's the
average
ultimate
citizen.
irony.
Right. And if you read through this, I mean, there's just crazy things that are super simple. But you can also read it as, if I want to be a good manager, What do I avoid doing? And what should I be watching for to see where other people might unintentionally be undermining my management process? And this is a good resource
You
for
see
that.
that. No, you see that way too positively, because what really happened is every manager looks at it and says, okay, this is exactly what we're following.
Yeah, I fear that happens far too often.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, there's like, it's one of my favorite, actually, a German professor who put out like a video of the 8 things you should do in a company if you want to. Like basically have absolute standstill that nothing ever changes or happens. And I mean, you can guess how many things most companies do out of eight.
Yeah, it's just their standard
Nine.
operating
Nine out of
procedure.
eight.
So
Yep. Exactly.
here's my favorite one. It says to lower morale and with it production, be pleasant to inefficient workers. Give them undeserved promotions. Discriminate against efficient workers. Complain unjustly about their work.
That sounds
I
like a
actually
lot of
share that with mine.
companies
That's
already.
right.
Yes.
I can identify with much of that.
Yeah, one that's not management that I saw in there that I was like, oh, that's actually kind of clever. If you need to just do things that slowly sabotage, like supply lines or other systems that involve transporting things, for trucks that have the dual back wheels, the inner tire overinflate it. The outer tire underinflate it, and it causes rapid wear on the tires, so they wear out really fast. And if you're doing that in a place where tread wear is really critical, say maybe in an environment where you have a lot of snow, you can excuse me, you can really mess up a supply chain. And overinflating the tires in the snow kind of turns your tires into balloons. So they, in, instead of cutting through the snow like the treads are supposed to, it can lift your car up. So it's kind of riding on the snow, and your tires become skis. That I don't think is in the book, but
That's
I'm just
funny.
saying.
That's funny. I just shared that with my boss.
Awesome.
I think we have some saboteurs in the company.
Yeah. So anyhow,
Fun.
Project Gutenberg. All right. It's time for us to wrap up,
Very cool. Thank you. Yes.
and well, get all excited about tomorrow because tomorrow's Friday and that's when the Mac show is. So, hey, we need to figure out where everyone can find all of us. Ian, where can people find you?
People can find me on LinkedIn, Ian Grant. That's the easiest place. In the Slack room, on Slack, they can find me there as well, the BTN Slack. And I'm starting to appear on various social media things that aren't X. So you might find me on PixelFed and BlueSky and stuff like that as well. My usual handle, TIOABOA. I'll post every now and again, so look for me there. Those are the usual places, and always here on a Thursday.
And I can confirm you are on BlueSky and PixelFed because I am seeing your posts.
Exactly. As
Yeah.
few as they are.
It's not like we have to hit a quota.
No, it's true.
Yeah. Tom, where can people find you?
People can find me on
Cool.
Mastodon. I am Tom F at sfba.social. And that's it. That's the only place you can find me. And
Okay. All
hobbling
right.
around doctor's offices too, I guess.
Well, if you want to read old magazines, the doctor's office is the place to go.
Best place.
Yeah,
Good
he
point.
seems to be a fan of them.
Yeah. Hey, Patrice, when you are not jet setting around Europe, where can people find you?
Well, every week here on the Mac Show and on the Big Show, every Thursday and Friday. Everything I'm doing, you can find on my website. ThePatrice.com takes you there. Yes, also where the social media links are, the podcast, the projects, everything you want to have. And I'm going to show it on my phone because I only have the sticker with me. But Retro Rewatch, it's a show that Jeff and I do together. We just started getting into season two of Stargate SG-1. We just resolved the cliffhanger. The next episode is also a banger. I can tell you that. Should be out tomorrow if I manage to edit tonight, which should be doable. I'm gonna go for a walk and then do that. So tomorrow you should have the next episode, and yeah, it's a really cool one. Just yeah, so retrorewatch.com.
Can't wait to find out
That's it.
what we thought of the episode, Patrice. Yeah.
You don't remember?
No, I'm just trying to hype people up.
Okay.
So anyhow, for me, Jay Gamut on the various social medias, and I'm active right now on Mastodon and Blue Sky and Pixel Fed, and I'm weaning myself off of Instagram. And then for shows, Tuesdays on Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live, Thursdays on Dave Ginsberg's In Touch with iOS, here on The Big Show on Thursdays, The Mac Show on Fridays. Brian Chaffin and I do The Context Machine. And as Patrice pointed out, she does not have her Retro Rewatch mug with her today, but she does have a sticker. Patrice, I'm so happy we do that show together. And I just want to
Me
let
too.
everyone know that whatever you drink in a Retro Rewatch mug tastes better.
Does.
Mm.
And
Oh,
then
speaking of
you
mugs,
drink.
I'm sure most of you will appreciate this one.
Ah, oh, Doctor Who. Yay, that's a cool one.
That's a
It's a
cool mug
Christmas
too.
present. Nice. Yeah,
That's a
but
super
Retro
cool mug.
Rewatch Mark is better. Sorry.
Obviously.
Obviously. All right. So
Mostly.
with that, it's time for us to wrap up. Thank you, all three of you, for making me smile. We need more smiles in the world. So
We do.
thank you for doing your part. All of you are absolutely awesome. Everyone that's watching, listening live, thank you for being here and being part of this. Everyone that watches or listens to the recordings later, thank you as well. I'm so glad all of you are part of the BTN family. And Ewan, thank you for being you. Muller, thank you for making sure we have people for shows. And with that, I think I should remind everyone to come back tomorrow for the Mac show. I'm guessing we will probably have something to talk about. And then join us again next Thursday for the big show. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.